This is the DTV Digest, the podcast that brings you news and reviews of films which didn't make it to the cinema. And now, here's your host, Mike Parkin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the DTV Digest, the podcast which brings you reviews of films which didn't make it to the cinema and instead went straight to DVD, Blu-ray, and streaming media. I'm your host, Mike Parkin, and joining me this week are Richard Hawes.
Hello, everybody.
And Stephen Lockridge.
Hello.
And this week we're going to be looking at Assault on VA 33. Our short shot is the latest film from Jean-Paul Lee called Acer. And then we're going to do our DTV throwback, which is Man of Tai Chi, starring Keanu Reeves and Tiger Chen. So without further ado, let's crack on. Our first review, then, is Assault on VA 33. When General Welch attends a psychiatric appointment at a veterans hospital, a terrorist called Rabikov uses the opportunity to stage a siege and kidnap the general in retaliation for the capture of his brother. The only person with a chance to stop him is Jason Hill, a decorated ex-soldier and PTSD sufferer himself, whose wife just happens to be the general's therapist. Okay, so Sean Patrick Flannery is playing our hero in this one, as I said, Jason Hill. And I must admit, you know, I kind of like Mr. Flannery. He was pretty good in that film we saw him in last year.
American Fighter.
Yep.
Yeah, he sort of livened that one up. I am right in thinking this is the guy from the Indiana Jones Chronicles, right?
Yes.
And Suicide Kings, I think, with Christopher Walken. So, again, you know, we're getting old. I think that's you know.
Did he do Boondock Saints as well?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen that one.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
No. So let's talk about the cast in this one. So we've got Sean Patrick Flannery, as we said, as a hero. In supporting roles, we've got none other than Michael Jai White playing the chief of police in this sort of small, sleepy town. We've also got Mark Dacascos and also Rob Van Dam sort of knocking around in this one. Now, I was thinking earlier of doing like, you know, sort of like one of these honest trailer kind of voices. Mm-hmm. It would be something along the lines of Mark Dacascos does sweet FA in this film. Michael J. White answers the phone.
Answers the phone, yeah.
It's, yeah, Rob Van Dam.
Sits in a van.
And does fuck all for the whole film. Oh, I mean, talk about promising a lot and delivering very little, you know, with these guys. It's just a real shame. But a lot of the film, you know, the pacing just felt off. The tone felt off. It's not, the, you know, it's Die Hard in a veterans hospital, shall we say. Yeah. And, yep. You know, it's got quite a nasty streak to it as well. But even so, it just didn't feel entertaining. Is the word I think I'm looking for?
Yeah.
Steve, what did you think of this?
Yeah, I probably agree with what you're saying there, Mike. To be honest, it's maybe,
you know, it is Die Hard in a hospital, but that's about it. But there's no real proper character development, and like you say about that nasty streak, if you like the first five or six deaths, I think it's all just women being shot in the face.
Basically, fair. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's. Normally things like that, it just seemed to really bother me, to be fair. I don't know. It was very brutal and just seemed to be just killing women for no discernible reason. There's no method behind it. It was just, let's plug another one in the head. And I thought the main bad guy was absolutely atrocious. His performance was awful. The accent was... Mm-hmm. Was bad. I just couldn't get into him at all. And the others, he just seems to be playing it for laughs for some reason. Like you're saying, the guy in the van, Rob Van Dam, whatever, he was just, no, my name's Zero now. And that was his whole character. Just like, no, you need to call me Zero now. And the ginger guy at the front desk as well, he just seemed to be, they were like playing it for laughs when it shouldn't be like that.
Yeah,
you know?
It's you know the guys in the first Bad Boys movie, you know, when you got like Joey Pantoliano and faces like people like that. You know, it's almost like they're going for that sort of thing, you know, where they were sort of joking around a little bit, but it just doesn't feel right. The only thing I did like, there was one exchange I did like, is when one of the guys is trying to chat up the blonde one. And he's sort of going, hey, is this your first mission? Don't worry, you know, I'll look after you. This sort of I thought, but, you know, I just thought that was quite amusing. So you know, that was all right. But, yeah, he seems to have thrown together this sort of ragtag group of, like, amateurs to do this job. And I suppose there might be a reason for that because, you know, he'd sort of promised them that it was going to be a big ransom, you know, demand and all the rest of it. And that was, like, the furthest thing from his mind. So, you know, whether or not they were chosen to survive the mission is, you know... Anyway.
And again, as your favourite beginning, where it shows the ending and goes back.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, they might as well have just carried on, you know. The point and they stopped at.
The thing is that you know that's what is happening there, and you think, wow, is this what I've got to look forward to by the end of the film?
God, it was...
Also, as well, they're outside the hangar, and it's daylight. As soon as you walk in, it turns to nighttime.
Brilliant.
another day jump again. You know, it was just weird as hell.
Yeah. No, yeah, as you know, that is my favourite movie trope, the old in media res. Let's start at the end of the film and jump back, because there's nothing... it kills me. It really does. My heart sinks every. You know, so I'm watching that. I'm thinking, it would be cool if it turned out to be like a James Bond like opening credit sequence where it's like, you know, this is how he ended up in the Veterans Hospital in the first place or something. But no, you know, this is the end of the film. It's what we're watching.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So Michael J. White basically answers the phone a lot and basically stops other people from joining in the action. That seems, you know, so much so that I was starting to wonder if he'd been paid, you know, maybe he was one of the bad guys, just trying to sort of like downplay everything as much as possible. But yeah. One other thing, we had a little exchange earlier today with the guys behind Exploding Helicopter, Rich, on Twitter. Because... Because this is the first film they've seen this year, which had an exploding helicopter. That scene was just so random.
Yeah.
It was
Well, we've seen that in a few films recently, where they just throw in a CGI helicopter to just blow up.
Oh God! It was like, where did it come from? You know, whose helicopter is it? It just appears in the middle of the film. It's like the police have only just become aware that there's something going on at the hospital. The next thing you know, there's a Black Hawk helicopter floating around outside and getting shot down. And it seemed to me almost as if they knew about the exploding helicopter website or sort of, you know, Twitter account and thought, we'll throw that in for them. I can't think of any other reason why it was there.
I bet it's in the trailer. That's why it's there.
Yeah, that's probably it.
So it starts off with that climactic scene, which is it feels like it's shot. It's not a stylish film. It feels like it's a cheaply shot for TV kind of production, which is a bad omen from the start. I wasn't particularly interested in the situation or the characters. The villain who we were first introduced to at the beginning is actually Nicolas Cage's son. Western Cage Coppola. And unfortunately, he is a very bland presence. I saw the name, but I've only now discovered that it's his son. He hasn't acted a huge amount, I don't think, but you might hope for like some of that wild-eyedness of his dad, but it's not there. It's a very controlled you know, character that he's playing. So he's he's not he's not that interesting. But yeah, the film, which is made by Chris Olin Ray, the son of Fred Olin Ray, and includes people who have worked on Fred Olin Ray's films and stuff in the past, like Richard Gabay, who is a director in his own right, has done many, many films, you know, many B-movies. He co-stars as one of the lead henchmen, basically the guy in the red shirt or the burgundy shirt, whatever it is. I quite enjoyed seeing him in it. But it's the stunt casting of, like you say, Michael Jai White and Mark Duplass and stuff is the only reason really to see it. We watched a Die Hard ripoff a while back called The Doorman,
yep,
with Ruby Rose. And that was, you know, the difference between these two films is like night and day in terms of quality. You know, that was quite that was borderline cinema release. You could have released it in a cinema. This is TV standard, you know, and not high quality TV standard either. It's, you know, it passes the time is the best you can probably say about it. It's quite violent, like you say. There's some, you know, quite a few gunshots. The group of, you know, the whole diehardness of the terrorists or whatever, they're really not very organized. The hospital is completely, you know, typical in these situations. The hospital just seems to be basically empty, which is bizarre for a hospital. You expect it to be quite busy.
Undergoing renovations, I think. They forgot to mention that in the script.
Yeah, we've got the terrorists are all male except for one obligatory female who's there for some sex appeal, basically. So as you say, it's quite it's that sort of old fashioned kind of film. But I did like Sean Patrick Flannery. I thought he was bringing something to he's playing a guy with PTSD, and he's really trying with it. He's quite twitchy. He's blinking a lot and stuff. Which are not typical, you know, traits of his. It's something he's tried to bring to the character to show that he's a bit on edge all the time. I quite like that. But yeah, the action, you know, Mark Duplass is sitting on the sidelines with a sniper rifle, a bit like Steven Seagal in Sniper Special Ops. But he does.
Yeah, but that was
he is encouraged at one moment to. He opens his case, which has his sniper rifle in, but it also has a massive machete, and he grabs it and he just starts running, and then he meets up, and they have a bit of a fight, which is, again, considering it's Sean Patrick Flannery fighting Mark Duplass, and bear in mind Mark Duplass has fought John Wick in John Wick 3, as well as doing many other much better films than this particular one. He has a fight, and it's half decent. It's not too bad, all things considered. There's a couple of, there's like a little joke in it and stuff at one point, which I didn't think landed very well. But, you know, I don't know, they're adding a little bit of humor in. Actually, there's quite a lot of humor throughout the film, especially Rob Van Dam sitting in the van and just with his, because his hair's really weird, because it's like receding, but like really thick and dark, like towards the back. It's like he's wearing a wig, but he's pushed it back. I don't know what's going on there, but so he was also in Sniper Special Ops.
Yes, he was.
He sort of just like call me by my nickname, whatever. Don't call me by my, you know, call me Zero. I'm not called Jimmy or whatever they're calling. What is there more to say? The one thing I do want to flag up is that over here in the UK, it is being released as Assault on Station 33.
Right.
Which I don't think makes any sense whatsoever.
No, it doesn't, because that makes me think of like a petrol station.
Fire station.
Yeah.
So, since when is a hospital called a station?
So,
I was thinking when it started, I was thinking, does it mean like the nurse's station? You know, the desk or, you know, where the nurses are, but no, that, even that don't come into it.
No.
See, this is interesting as well, that the film makes no attempt to explain what the VA is or what its role is. You know, any other film like this, you know, a bigger production would have had some like end scroll or something at the beginning, just to sort of say the VA sort of, you know, handles so many cases for, you know, PTSD or something. You know, just a bit of information, just to sort of establish that, you know, this is a good place, as it were. You know, this is you know, somewhere which shouldn't be attacked. This is a sacred place, you know, so where we look after our fallen soldiers and that sort of thing.
So, well, I think that's because VA hospitals are so ingrained in American culture that they wouldn't have even considered that other countries don't do the same or would not understand what a VA is. I mean, I didn't know what VA stood for. I mean, it's Veterans Administration, I believe. The VA hospital. I mean, do we have anything even remotely like that, apart from like the Royal British Legion and what they do? You know, I can't think of anything.
I think there is an army hospital. There are a couple of army hospitals around, I know. Sort of one in Salisbury, not in Salisbury, but on the outskirts of Salisbury.
In America, like veterans and, you know, war. Yeah, you know, the military is such a massive.
But then we've got the NHS.
That's true.
So, you know, that covers just about everything anyway. If, you know,
yeah, you're right.
A soldier or not.
That's a very good point. Yeah, because they don't have, so the veterans wouldn't have access to most of the healthcare in the hospitals. Exactly. So, therefore, they.
Yeah.
It's like VFW. You know, we had the VFW bar. Was like, what?
Yes.
What's a VFW?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, no, I wouldn't have known what that was before watching that film, but there you go. Yeah. So, okay, I think we've got round to the bit where we score this. I'm going to go to Steve first.
Give it a 5 out of 10.
Yep, Rich.
Yep.
I was going to go 5, but I'm going to go for a 6 just because of the cast they managed to assemble. And I think, you know, if you're interested in these particular performances, you'll probably want to check it out regardless. So I think it does pass the time reasonably well. I'd put it in the same vein as something like Hard Kill with Bruce Willis. Really, it's functional. 6 out of 10.
It is functional. I managed to watch it all in one sitting. I didn't find myself fast forwarding through it or anything like that, and I think that is down to Mr. Flannery for the most part, and, you know, hoping to see more glimpses of the Cascos and Michael J. White. So I think I am begrudgingly going to join you on a 6. I just wanted to say, you know, I did mention this to you the other day, Rich, that on Netflix is the Ryan Felipe film, The Second.
Yeah.
Which is worth a look. I think it is more entertaining than this one, for sure.
Is that also Die Hard in a Hospital?
It's Die Hard on a college campus.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So Ryan Felipe's daughter is attending this college. It's the last day of school. And her roommate happens to be the vice president's daughter or something along those lines.
And, of course.
Yeah. And then Casper Van Dien turns up with a fake security detail to take her away. And Ryan Felipe spots it, you know. Mm-hmm. So they end up getting stuck in this building. It's pretty good, you know, for what it is. Quite enjoyed it. But yeah, so I prefer the second over this. But yeah, this gets a 6. 2 6s and a 5 for Assault on VA 33. Our short shot this week is Acer. He killed Matthew! And that's all we need to know, basically. Sure. So this is a film starring Jean-Paul Lee. He killed Matthew, apparently. And he's stuck in this sort of basement. People are looking for him. And a very, very brutal fight ensues with him and his sort of opponent. This is a very short, 5 minutes.
5 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, all the action takes place in this sort of grimy sort of sub-level. They have a bit of dialogue, but basically it's just a fight scene with this little bit of exposition to sort of get you into it. Yeah, I haven't got anything more to add until you two have spoken. So, Steve.
Yeah, exactly what it is. It's a 5-minute fight scene with the little shout at the beginning.
The ending was a little bit strange, though. when the bottom of the stairs and then the doors come open. It kind of, I don't know what it was going for with that. And then it just obviously finishes, but yeah, well played out, well shot. It is what it is, you know.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. And it is quite enigmatic, that final shot, as to, or sorry, not enigmatic, ambiguous as to what it could mean. You know, has he just finished the first course and now here comes the main? Or is it sort of something a bit more benign? Who knows? Rich, you flagged this one up for us. So what do you think of it?
I hate to be down on it because I was so looking forward to it. Obviously it's Jean-Paul Lee and Laurent Blancel, who are a team we've seen before in films like The Division, which was basically a non-stop fight scene for half an hour essentially, but it had a bit more plotting and that going on. And it's made by Ross Peacock, who's also known as Rossitron, who makes some fantastic video essays on YouTube covering the action genre. So he knows action movies inside out. Nobody knows, probably, you know, not many people know more as much as he does for the amount of time that he's invested in, you know, editing them together and, you know, thinking about how they're constructed and stuff. So expectations were high. And you never know what you're going to get when a short film is announced. You know, is it going to be 5 minutes? Is it going to be 35 minutes? I was obviously hoping for something a bit more substantial than a fight scene. Very well done fight scene, but, you know, the film itself doesn't bring anything more. You know, I've seen a lot of these, and it doesn't really bring anything else to the table apart from showing, you know, that Ross can direct action, which, as I say, I would kind of expect it. And it's kind of like a, I don't know if it's a proof of con. It, I think, I don't know if it was conceived as a proof of concept. I think it's just what it is, but it feels just like a bit, a fragment, you know. And there's not really any context, and it's, for me, that makes it unsatisfying. As good as the choreography is, I would certainly recommend seeing it, but I would just urge caution of, you know, there's no story there, which is a real shame. I really didn't want to be saying that, as I say, because I'd been so excited about seeing it. And, you know, Jean-Paul Lee in particular, we know, you know, is heading for great things. You know, he was so excellent in Night Shooters, and he's got a film coming out with Tom Payton soon called 400 Bullets. But yeah, and I also, the title is, I don't know, it said that it translates as like something to do with bleeding, I think, but
sharp,
does it? Yeah. So yeah, it's sort of, I don't know, it doesn't work for me. I don't know if we ever talked about it, but there was a film called, and I'm probably not pronouncing the word right, Sibley or Sibyl.
Who was in that one?
Danny Leisner, I believe. Like, let's just not, get it. I'm just getting up on this. I think it's
Danny. I think it's Sylvia Simak, but it's not. It's, yeah, Joey Anser.
It's got... Oh, sorry. It was directed by Danny Leisner, and it stars Jeffrey Thompson,
right?
Who's a, I think he's French anyway. But it's like it's 7 minutes, and it's basically a fight scene, action scene kind of sequence. Mm-hmm. But it's got a bit of context. It's a revenge story, so there's a bit of context and whatever at the beginning and at the end. And you know, it's much more satisfying. You know, that's a really good little 7 minute action scene movie. This just needed just a bit more, you know, 5 minute, you know, a dialogue scene at the beginning and end or something for me to sort of flesh out the story, and I would have been much happier. Still very much worth seeing, especially if you've not seen Jean-Paul Lee and Laurent Plancel fighting before. You know, you move on from this, you can go to, you know, The Division and all the other great stuff that they've done. And you know, if you're not familiar with Ross Peacock, look him up on YouTube and check out some of those videos that he's done, where he talks to people like Gareth Evans and was it Chad Stahelski, and as well as like reviewing franchises and stuff. Brilliant work. And he's a screenwriter as well. I think he's sold a script that's going to be made with Bruce Willis, mm-hmm. but hopefully a proper Bruce Willis movie and not like a Grindstone Entertainment job, but we'll see.
Cool. That's about all we can say about this film. It is very short. The camera work is very nice.
Oh yeah, I mean it looks great, doesn't it? I mean it's great. Really the cinematography, music, everything's cool. You know,
this is a very brutal fight, and you know, at the end of it, Jean Valjean's character is in such a state that I'm really hoping that the guys at the top of the stairs aren't there to finish him off. You know, because that'd be a bit of a downer. That would be like I don't know if you've seen the film A Company Man, the Korean film.
No.
There's a scene in there. There's a scene in there where there's, you know, the hero is thrown into like a grave, and then sort of, you know, they fill it in on top of him, and he manages to sort of crawl himself out, you know, this painstakingly sort of manages to dig his way back to the surface and crawl his way out, only to find out the guys who put him in there in the first place are just waiting for him to come back out, you know, and going, damn, I knew we should have dug deeper, you know, that sort of thing. But anyway, it's digress. So he's Jean-Paul Lee is somebody we like to follow. He's very talented. This is a bit of a tease. Come on, guys, 5 minutes? Not enough. But there you go. Definitely worth checking out. It'll be in the footnotes below. Please do. You know, 5 minutes of your lunch hour, no problem at all. Our DTV throwback this week is Man of Tai Chi. Tiger Chen is a skilled martial artist who is one of the last exponents of a rare form of Tai Chi. He is targeted by Donaka Mark to participate in high-stakes underground fighting tournament, which leads to a conflict with his teachings. Directed no less by Keanu Reeves, who is the co-star, I think he does a damn good job of directing this overall. I think the film is really good. The only thing I hate about this film, and I really do hate it, is that stupid bloody YouTube guy who keeps turning up filming Tiger Chen's fights and then sort of interjecting with these stupid, like, what up, everyone? Oh, God, I wanted to stab his eyes out with a fork. But, yeah, other than that, I think this is really good. I mean, it didn't really sort of take with me the first time I saw it, sort of back when it first came out. Mm. I think I was sort of smarting a bit because, you know, you got Iko Uwe as the sort of penultimate fighter in this.
Comes
across, and you think, such a waste. You know, we've just been talking about VA-33 and how it wasted, you know, its cast. And I'm thinking, you know, sort of hot off the raid, you got Iko Uwe in your film, and you get like this half-assed fight, and it's like, no. But anyway. I digress. You know, this time around, you know, knowing that was going to happen, my expectations weren't, you know, a bit more measured. And I thoroughly enjoyed it this time around. Rich, what did you make of this? You must have seen it before.
Yeah, I think I saw it when it came out reasonably quickly. It wasn't like a sat on the shelf for ages kind of thing, but it came out in 2014, I think, here. It was made in 2013. And I think I was quite surprised, and I still am surprised, that it's a Chinese film. It's not, it's an American Chinese co-production, but you go into it, and Steve, you better tell me whether this is true or not, in your view, you kind of go into it expecting it to be an American style movie directed by Keanu Reeves, not for it to actually be Chinese, like properly Chinese with subtitles and everything.
Well, that was, you know, when it first started and the production companies came on, and it's, you know, like the Chinese production companies and stuff like that, you think, oh, okay, then, yeah, fair enough. And it's not kind of what you think it's going to be, because, you know, Keanu Reeves, you're thinking, you know, big American action star, whatever, and that's the kind of thing, but it isn't. It is a Chinese film, and the style, the direction style even reminds me of, you know, like the more old school martial art films that I used to watch as a kid and stuff like that. Yeah. It's you know, your story's pretty basic. you know,
threatening. Standard fare.
Yeah, threatening the livelihood, so you'll keep doing the underground fighting to turn you into a killer at the end and stuff like that. I think my only thing I didn't like about the film was actually Keanu Reeves. I just didn't get him in there. I don't think he's a good baddie, to be fair. I don't think he's ever been a decent baddie. The fighting's great, especially the fight, the final fight at the end. And because, you know, he was doing this for The Matrix and stuff like that before, weren't he? And I really liked Tiger Chen.
Yeah.
The main guy, I thought he was actually really good. He's very, very spry. There's not much to him, but he's got the moves and the speed and everything like that.
There's some great moves. Yeah. I love, there's one like the way he like goes around and flips a guy and he comes around the other side and lands on his, I don't know. You can't explain it. Yeah. It's just like, how, yeah. It's like, I had to go back and like rewatch it. I was like, what did he just do there? I just don't
see.
I know that the film has a lot of, because this is one of my gripes, is there's quite a lot of wire work and stuff in it, but there's certain scenes that you think that I don't think any wires are involved there. That's just really quick, great choreography there.
Yeah.
So the so Tiger Chen plays Tiger Chen. Which is quite surprised, because I thought, oh, have they just done this for the UK version or something? But in certain scenes, he speaks English and he says Tiger Chen is his name. So I was thinking, oh, they're doing it like a, because Jackie, a lot of, in the 90s, some of the Jackie Chan movies came out.
He's always called Jackie.
Yeah, yeah. That was interesting. How this film came about was essentially as a consequence of The Matrix, because Yuen Woo-ping and Tiger Chen worked under Yuen Woo-ping, and then he worked closely with Keanu Reeves. They were becoming like mates and stuff. So a few years down the line, you know, I'm guessing this was pushed forward by Keanu Reeves, because that seems to be the only thing I can guess, is that that's how this all came about, is that Tiger Chen's, you know, it's his chance at a leading role. And, you know, his mate Keanu Reeves is sort of trying to guide him and help him. You know, Yuen Woo-ping's on board to do the fights and stuff. They get a great supporting cast of Karen Mok, Simon Yam, Sam Lee's in there. But also, I say Keanu Reeves himself doing as many other actor directors have done before, you know, like Kenneth Branagh did that Jack Ryan movie, you know, he directed it, but then he also played the villain. And he does that. I'm not on the same side as Steve here. I thought he was really good playing a really sort of, cold, controlled villain for the most part. I think it went a bit wrong when he sort of turned up, you know, went Nick Cage. And he's like, ha ha ha, and, you know, doing all this sort of crazy, crazy stuff.
That's the bits that it didn't work for me at all, you know. I think there's one bit where he just, like, screams at the camera. And
I don't like that bit.
No, I did like that bit, because he's up to that point, he's very controlled, he's very intense and sort of very sort of focused. And he lets loose that bit, because he's watching one of the tournament fights, and sort of sees, Tiger Chen go a step too far, as it were, which is really cool. No, I like that bit, but I agree with this sort of ha 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 bits at the end. You think you can just leave? Ha ha ha. That's just, it's pushing it into sort of comic book villain territory.
It's still very elaborate. You know, it's got like a sci-fi sort of feel. I mean, this is one of those. There's a tournament thing being, or death matches being organized by rich guys so that wealthy people can watch them zoomed all over the world or whatever it is on the internet or in person. That's all, you know, and that's possibly one of the reasons why it wasn't a massive success, is just that that's such well-worn territory. But I think for the what you're seeing, you know, the fight scenes and stuff, although I do think the wire work and stuff ruins it a bit. There's some fantastic fight scenes and choreography going on, especially in the film goes a bit wrong for me. I mean, in the start, you know, when he's in that cube style room.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know what I mean by that. And it's like you know, sci-fi, but yeah, minimalist, you know, it's just, it's a really nice piece of production. I mean, the whole film has got really nice production design, but it goes a bit wrong when they go to the shipping container ship, where it's all, you know, again, really nice set, but it's, you know, they start playing this video of that they've put together and how they've turned him, you know, how they've manipulated him and stuff like that. And they have to wear the costumes, and then the fight scenes get a bit more, elaborate, let's say, and less sort of grounded. Yeah, it's a bit more fantastical as it goes on. And then you climax with kind of a Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon kind of feel in this, you know, desolate temple where we begin the film.
Yeah,
I like the whole thing about the film is the yin and the yang and the black and the white, and that's a nice that motif is quite nicely handled through the film, because Tiger Chen's master he's always wearing white, and Keanu Reeves's villain is always wearing black, you know, and he's drawn away from the light to the darkness, and you know, he's corrupted a lot, you know, the hero who's corrupted along the way. You know, he had noble intentions or whatever at the start, and it's all gone, you know, he's lost himself, and then he has to find himself again.
Yeah.
Again, sort of like The Quest and all, you know, lots of other things. Silvio Simak turns up.
He does.
But again, he's gone in like a second. It's like so disappointing.
He turns up just as sort of Tiger Chen's becoming really, really ruthless. So instead of having a nice sort of drawn out elaborate fight, he's dealt with in vicious sort of style very quickly.
Yeah, we get Brahim Achebake. I can't say his name properly, but he's really good. He was in like I've seen him in some Bollywood stuff as well, but I think he was in one of the Boyka movies, maybe the recent one, but he's really good, and he has a nice fight scene. Let me have just quick see if I can see Undisputed or Boyka or something. War he was in as well. So I enjoyed seeing him. Sorry?
The Indian one.
Yes. Yeah. So War with Tiger Shroff and stuff. He was in that. He does all sorts of stuff. But Tiger's in the High as well. So there's, like you say, Iko Uwe turns up. And I'd forgotten he was in it. So it's like, wow, that's really sorry. But again, it's like, you know, stuff like The Quest. You know, The Quest was a big budget movie, and they had all the, and again, it's a directorial debut, and it had this big budget, amazing cast of fighters and stuff, but the fight scenes just weren't very good in that, and they didn't deliver. And you could say the same for like Street Fighter, which had loads of cool people in it as well, and didn't really have any fighting. But yeah, this one, at least the fighting's of a good standard for the most part. I say, I don't like all the flipping around. There's one crazy bit where, because it's kind of got the fantastical thing, I think Keanu Reeves kicks Tiger Chen up through the air and then grabs his leg to pull him back.
Yeah.
Do you remember that bit?
Yeah.
So it's like these like quite a little fantastic. And I think the climactic fight scene with Keanu Reeves is better than I would have expected. I mean, it goes on quite a while. It's quite a long fight scene.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you think, I just don't believe that Keanu Reeves is going to be a formidable opponent, for considering what we've seen.
I think
Tiger Chen is able to do, but you know, it was fine. But overall, I think it's a really interesting film, really well worth seeing. It's certainly got a lot of curiosity value, if nothing else. It's really interesting. Yeah. I think it's a good movie.
This, my favourite sort of fight scene is the one against the twins in the sort of casino kind of thing.
Yeah, see, that for me, that's where it went wrong. Yeah. I didn't like that.
Well, the thing is, with that one, because, you know, he's basically fending these two guys off, and he gets beaten, and then Keanu Reeves comes up to him and sort of says, what are you afraid of? You know, are you afraid of what you can do to them?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the whole scene flips, and, that's how good the choreography is that, you know, the first half is like believable. The second half is even more believable that this guy's suddenly, you're thinking, oh my God, he's unchained now. He's like, you know, he's unleashed his inner demon or whatever. And he's sort of really ripping into these two guys. It was a really interesting to sort of see the step up in choreography in that particular fight. So,
which is another good fight film, Unleashed. or Danny the Dog.
Oh, yeah.
Similar turn to aspects to this one.
Yeah, but you know, for me, I was so happy to see Karamok and Simon Yam in this as well, because you know, Simon Yam is an actor. When I first started getting into like Hong Kong movies, I think one of the first films I bought was Killer's Romance, which is based on the Crying Freeman story. And he's absolutely superb in that. There's some brilliant fights in that film. So, yeah, Simon Yam was great. Karen Mok was really good. Also recommend So Close if you're interested to see more of her. She gets a good elevator fight scene in that one.
I didn't like that one much when I saw it. I mean, that's Korean film, so I had really high expectations. I think he made it just after Transporter.
It's very sort of fakes, you know, it's all CGI and sort of wire work and stuff, but it has got some good bits to it. Like I said, that particular elevator fight, and there's also a really good car chase in it as well, which is really.
But there's that really dodgy. This is going to tie in with something I'm going to mention in a second. But there's a really dodgy car bit in there, like CGI car bit. I'm sure if I remember correctly. And this film's got a really, really CGI car crash. It's like this film doesn't have a lot of CGI, but like in that scene, just like they just went to town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bit too much, though, for me.
Yeah, a bit overly fake, but there you go. Anyway, so we don't score the DTV throwbacks, but we do recommend you check it out. This is on Amazon Prime, as you'd expect, as most of the films we cover in this section are. It's definitely, if you haven't seen it, check it out. It's definitely worth your time.
Can I just mention one more thing before we go? When I was saying about the yin yang thing, the other sort of counterpoint thing that they were doing in the film that I liked was his real world tournament compared to the underground tournament, and you know what happened with, because I thought those scenes, you know, the grounded, realistic world tournament scenes were really well done. They were some of the best.
Yeah,
I think really when he was fighting that, it's again the film sort of gets more fantastical as it moves away, and his character. Mm. I can see what they were trying to do, and I think there's I just think it like the character, it just sort of loses its way, but it's really really well worth seeing. Yeah.
A good sort of counterpoint to this film is the Tai Chi Master with Jet Li and Michelle Yeoh, which is also directed by Yen Wu-ping. It's really good. I think Dimension released it under the title Twin Warriors.
I've heard of that. Yeah,
come across it, but it's a brilliant film. Yeah, and again, sort of goes into the whole thing about Tai Chi and how he uses that as a formidable martial art.
Yeah, there's a great quote where he's like, he's using a soft style in a hard way and stuff, and they're like, isn't that contradictory? And he's like, well, not really.
Anyway, so enough about Man of Tai Chi. That is the end of the episode, so thank you for Steve and Rich for joining me this evening.
No problem, sir.
No props.
We shall put the trailer into the footnotes, the trailers into the footnotes, and also the shorts, so check it out from there. Speaking of shorts, don't forget to check out our new show, the DTV Digest Short Shots, which goes out on the same channel as this. So have a look for that as well, where we just look at a whole bunch of new short films because we can't fit them into this show. Also, don't forget to check us out on Facebook and Twitter, where you'll find the DTV chart and news about any other new releases coming our way. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next time.
Thank you for listening to the DTV Digest. Let us know your thoughts in the comments and tune in again next time.